Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. As you know, I am a big advocate for fighting sex trafficking, human trafficking, exploitation, child trafficking, and all of the above. It is a very dangerous game once you enter that. You would think everyone would be against it. Everyone would be for protecting women and children. And unfortunately, that is not the world we live in. But my guest today is a very brave, outspoken, a woman who has taken on that beast. And I'm excited to welcome Arden Young to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Mel.
Thank you. I've been watching you go, and I said to Rob recently, I said, we gotta find her because, as my audience knows, I spent many years in Hollywood, and people don't fully understand that there's multiple sides of that business, and it's very difficult. And you you actually ended up being successful out there, and it's like, it's one in a million. People don't really fully understand how one in a million that is. And you came up there. So I wanted to just talk a little bit about your background and then go forward. Because a lot of people say they know what happens in Hollywood and how it works, but you don't really until you get to a place where you are on sets, you're interacting with the people, you understand the hierarchy. So a little bit about your background would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and I entered the entertainment industry at a pretty young age. I started acting when I was 12, and that was my dream at the time. I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to do whatever it took. And I had a lot of fun doing it, but of course there were some really bad, inappropriate experiences. And I think I came out of Hollywood a very different person than I went in, yeah. Of course. I think I left, I think I was like 20 or 21, 22, something like that.
Right.
And it took me years, and I still am going through different levels of realizations of what being in Hollywood led me to believe about myself and the world and just everything in general.
Yeah.
But when I left, a lot like yourself, I went into journalism, yeah. And mainly in an undercover capacity. And this new undercover, you know, series that I've just released into Pornhub is the first public investigation I've ever done. And so I'm very proud of it. And yeah.
Yeah, you should be. It's a big, big problem what is going on there. And I was looking at a case this morning on your Twitter and reading through some of the accusations and what is happening there. As you know, you started as a young actress at 12 getting roles. You were booking roles. It's very different to just be an actress as it is once you have the agent and the manager and the roles and the pressure and all of that. And, you know, so you have a unique perspective of some of these children. And so tell me about, so you when did you start looking into this and really seeing, you know, this wasn't about just porn. This was also about child exploitation, child porn and all of that.
Yeah, so actually we began the investigation almost exactly a year ago. It's just myself and the founder of Sound Investigations. We're a two-person team. And really what inspired this entire Pornhub investigation was a New York Times article of all things. It was called The Children of Pornhub, and it detailed victim struggles to get their abuse videos taken down from Pornhub after months and sometimes even years of trying to get in contact and absolutely begging the platform. The people behind the scenes at Pornhub were demanding all sorts of evidence and kind of taking these victims on a wild goose chase to even be considered to get their abuse content taken down, which is insane.
Yeah.
So that's the article that led us to even have Pornhub on our radar.
Right.
But our hypothesis was that after reading this article, these things were still happening behind the scenes. Abuse material was still being profited off of. knowingly being profited off of, and they're just not fixing it on purpose because it makes money at the end of the day.
Right.
And
yeah,
so
they
that's
make it exactly. impossible. What you're talking about is really important for people to understand, which is the trauma of having that out there. And then so one case that I was looking at here, it was a young girl from, I believe, Colombia. And it looks like 15 million downloads. And she was, I believe, 12 or 13 years old at the time. And they were trying to make her prove that she was, because now she's older, that she was what age she was, that it wasn't that, she, you know, that it wasn't, you know, that there was a reason to take it. I mean, I can't even imagine. So you kept bumping into stories like that, where it was children, some of them now adults, but where there was no, there must be a huge appetite for it out there, but even still, it was making them so much money that they weren't caring about the trauma and the re-trauma and the, you know, abuse. When it's, you know, one situation, it's bad enough when you know that millions of people are watching that. So talk a little bit about some of the victims that you came across and what the reasoning for not taking these things down, or actually re-traumatizing the victims.
Yeah, absolutely. There's unfortunately too many to count, but I think the one that has come to the forefront of a lot of these articles is Serena Flytus. And she was 14 years old when her intimate videos were uploaded to Pornhub by someone she thought she could trust, who kind of coerced and pressured her, an older boy pressured her into sending these videos to him, and he ended up putting those on Pornhub and amassing millions of views off of these videos, and they would just get re-uploaded a bunch of different times. And she had reached out to Pornhub, and over the course of just months and months of begging them, hey, this isn't consensual. I did not sign off on this. This is me. I'm a minor. Please take this down. There is nothing. And I believe some of those can still be found. Unfortunately, it's just something that Pornhub has not taken seriously. And I believe still hasn't taken seriously enough. They have kind of caved to a lot of public pressure after accounts like this have come out. But behind the scenes, they still don't care. Therefore, they don't do enough to actually nip it in the bud completely. So they've gone over their upload policy a couple different times. They've revised it and made it a little bit better, but really nothing that they're doing applies retroactively. So there's still things that, you know, come up and still non-consensual content up there that's been there for a while.
And it appears that they have moderators, but the moderator's job isn't to flag or take down videos. It's actually, from what it seems like in some of these other cases that I've read about and some of the stuff in your reporting, is that even if videos are flagged, they have to be flagged multiple times. And then at that point, they have all these people. I can't even imagine what the people that watch porn all day do, but apparently they have a lot of people. But at the time when the case that I found, it looked like they had a 706,000 backlog of flagged videos that had not been gone through yet. And but they were saying, like you're saying, they were saying that they were working on it, but really they were just saying, well, it's flagged. So we're working on it. And and you know, how what have you found on the back end in terms of, you know, how the operation works there and how they're actually getting it? Appears they're just, they put in mechanisms, like you're saying, they keep changing their back end, but they're putting in mechanisms that don't really change the situation. They just change what's going on.
Exactly. So when depositions came out, there's some discovery that showed that in order for a video to be even considered to be taken down or reviewed by a moderator, it had to have 17 flags, which is insane.
And so like the same person would have to go in multiple times, because who else is flagging it except for them and the people that they know and care about them, you know?
Right. I mean, there's definitely nowhere near enough attention on on videos that are problematic. And each content moderator was expected to review like 500 videos a day.
Imagine.
No. And, you know, they say each frame was reviewed, blah, blah, blah. But how can someone review 500 videos a day while reviewing each and every single frame? Yeah. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah.
But through my undercover work, it was revealed this Pornhub employee who had been there for 11 years, and he was the number 7 employee to ever be hired there. He said that non-consensual videos, rape videos, trafficking videos are uploaded to the site. They absolutely know about it. They don't know who the people in the video are, and they absolutely know about it. And he said he brought this up to the C-suite executives there, and they told him to shut up and F off about it. Because at the end of the day, he, in his words, why spend more money on making less money? So in other words, spending time and resources on better content moderation would end up just costing them money, because the non-consensual content makes money. So that's what he said to me.
Oh my God.
And he said they didn't care about victims. No. They just didn't care. They would be, you know, going through videos and only rejecting a video from being uploaded if someone was literally getting murdered in the video. Horrible stuff like that. Didn't care about revenge porn, didn't care about that kind of stuff. And routinely just had no idea how old anyone was in a video.
It is so sad and sickening. And also on the other side, they don't know how old the people are that are watching the videos either, I believe. Exactly. So there's no backstop there. It's literally all about money. But the crazy part is, and I know you've dug into this and you've talked to victims and stuff, is that during that period of time when somebody finds out that something is out there and that they put them through all this torture, the psychological damage that they're doing to that person is so extreme. There is like humiliation, guilt, feeling of helplessness. I mean, it's psychological torture for somebody that has something uploaded. Either they don't know about it, it's against their will. So, you know, have you found anything, even the person that you went undercover with, do they have any empathy or compassion, or is it just like they're so desensitized, it's just business?
I didn't see any type of compassion or empathy or, you know, sadness for these victims. In fact, one of the people that I recorded undercover actually blamed the victims. And he was so like, so short-sighted about it. I almost didn't even understand what he was saying until I went back and looked at the footage. He said, if you don't want videos of you out there like that, then don't make the video.
Can you imagine? I mean,
in the moment, I didn't really even register what he said. But then I went back and I watched the footage and I was like, did he really just say that? Because he just like misses the point completely.
He's not even there. It's totally, I can't even, just because, you know, you and I both are artists at heart. I can't even imagine not registering that's you're tearing somebody apart inside on purpose. You know it, and it doesn't, and you blame them. I mean, this is very common. Now, let me ask you about going undercover. So you know that you're doing this. That now, obviously, you're an actress. You're probably really great at going undercover, but there's still a whole mental preparation going in there. Yeah. Did you know what you wanted to get out of it? Did you have in your head how to kind of probe questions? Did you plan? Because you're already an investigative journalist. So, but this is a whole nother level of journalism, by the way, and it's very brave and it's amazing. Just tell me about that preparation, just so people understand. It's really nuanced.
Yeah, I had a general idea of what might be said. I had no idea how detailed, though, and nuanced the admissions would be. So my general ideas going in were that, you know, they're knowingly monetizing non-consensual content that could include underage content as well,
yeah.
And it probably did. Maybe they're purposefully advertising videos to young people to try to hook them on pornographic content. Maybe talking about the content moderation process and just saying like content moderators don't really care, or they just don't have enough to go through all the videos or whatever it may be. But I got really detailed and unexpected admissions talking about the ins and outs of this loophole in the upload system that allows for rapists and traffickers to upload videos, and they do, and they don't care. They're leaving it the loophole open because it makes money. And about the pornographic ads, he says, one of the guy who actually writes the content for the ads, he says, well, we purposefully like tailor and advertise pornographic videos where the actor appears to be about 15 because it really hooks pedophiles, and pedophiles spend a lot of money. So I mean, it was mind-boggling. I didn't expect that. He also says that they purposefully market pornographic videos that are like gay or bi or trans
right.
videos. They purposefully market those to straight viewers to try to expand the viewers' horizons and expand marketability to try to like widen how much they can profit off of one person so they could just sell more content to that same person. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh my God. And you know, you have to think in your head that they think that this is fine. Like if he's telling you this, this is a culture. This is what they, how they live. Now, the scary part is that a lot of these videos, they have rape videos on there, and they have obvious people that are under duress and all of that. Do they ever report anything to the authorities that they see? Has that ever happened that you know of?
Not that I know of. In fact, I posed as an advertiser and called their customer care line. They do everything in-house, including ads. And I said, hey, I have a bunch of videos and there are these really young girls. I think they could be underage, but I'm not sure. I have no idea who they are. Don't have any documentation on them. Have no idea. If I upload them and it turns out they are underage, like what happens? And they tell me that my account is not likely to become suspended or disabled or anything like that. And they also tell me that they do not report to law enforcement.
Now, let me ask you, have they ever been sued and lost, or do they have like a machine of lawfare people that protect them?
So both. They've definitely been sued and lost. In fact, there's I think there's almost 300
oh, wow.
victims of trafficking who have collectively sued them and, you know, got settlement money, which not nearly enough, but
yeah, but they
yeah,
should be shut down for if there's
absolutely.
Five, if there's one victim, let alone five, let alone 30, let alone 300. I mean, this is criminal enterprise, but,
yeah.
How about on the other side, when they do get sued, do they try to, you know, lawfare the people to death? Do you know anyone that's tried to sue them that couldn't? Because, you know, a lot of that has to do with these lawyers that they hire destroying the person who's bringing the lawsuit.
Yeah, there have been a lot of accusations, actually, by survivors of abuse via Pornhub, that Pornhub actually pays their brand ambassadors, like a familiar name might be Asa Akira.
Oh yeah, I saw her in the video.
Them to like bully survivors speaking out about their abuse on Pornhub and things like that. And they're definitely effective at getting survivors stifled on social media platforms. I suspect that they've been stifled because of, you know, people at Pornhub who may have friends at different social media platforms. I was banned from X, my videos were disabled on X, I'm search banned on X, and I'm also demonetized.
Is that for real? And this is currently that's going
currently.
On? And you were putting up the undercover videos. You weren't putting up porn.
They disabled the first two undercover videos, which were the ones that Pornhub was most angry about, the first two that we released. And it's just those two that happened to be disabled on X. And what's funny is they're sneaky about it, because if you click play, the preview of the video will show, but it'll just say, like, this content
not
isn't
available
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awful. And what's scary about that is that is a small world. Where's Pornhub located? Is it in Silicon Valley?
Their headquarters are in Montreal, Canada, actually. Oh,
okay. Yeah. So they're Canadian, which is weird, because Canada has a lot stricter laws about what they can put online, but that's still allowed to function, I guess. Now, how do they make money on Pornhub? So does the person who's download, who's giving them the content, make money, and Pornhub makes money? So there's multiple criminals in the situation when it is a child, or it's trafficking, or it's non-consensual. So how does that situation work?
Yeah, it's a business model pretty similar to YouTube. So it's mainly ad money. And so the uploader has an incentive to upload videos because they can make money off of ads that play on their content. And the platform, of course, makes money as well, because they have advertisers paying the platform.
Right.
And so there's a mutual benefit. So one of the big class action lawsuits against Pornhub was by victims of this content partner of Pornhub called Girls Do Porn. And so what they did, and they were a top performing content partner on the front page of Pornhub for a long time. And what they did was they set up these fake websites to try to lure young girls to do modeling jobs, meet up at some hotel room in San Diego. And these women ended up being barricaded in a room and raped, and oftentimes like shamed and bullied and coerced into making this video. Not like they even had a choice, but quickly turned violent many times. There was visible blood on the bed sheets. There was drug paraphernalia around the room that was very obvious, but a lot of the girls were incapacitated. And this Girls Do Porn, this production company, made millions of dollars off of these videos, and so did Pornhub. And so one of the big lawsuits that came out was a group of these victims suing the platform for doing business with Girls Do Porn. And then there was a criminal investigation recently out of the Eastern District of New York over the same case. And Pornhub actually admitted to profiting off of the sex trafficking. But unfortunately, they were given a sweetheart deal. And basically, like, they're facing criminal charges, but the charges get dropped in 3 years if they're on their best behavior, which, like, that's so vague. What does that mean?
It sounds like mafia, organized crime, to tell you the truth, which isn't that surprising. And you know, this is, as I've done on many shows about it, this is a worldwide problem. We also have a open border right now, and we have on our friend later, who's done video movies called 26 Seconds, different places in the world where child sex trafficking in general, men, women, you know, these people don't care. And again, that Pornhub and that these people were trafficked, coerced, drugged, violence, barricaded in. This should be the end of it. It shouldn't continue down the road. The problem with a lot of things that's going on in society is that there's never accountability. There's never consequences. There's never justice, and it continues on. Did you find, are there bigger parties behind Pornhub that are making like, who are the investors in Pornhub? Do we know? Is that public?
Yeah, no. So it's a private company. We don't exactly know everyone that is behind it. However, a new company called Ethical Capital Partners actually acquired Pornhub. Yeah, and Pornhub's parent company just last year, around a year ago. And the one of the founding members and the guy who is basically he's the owner of Pornhub now, his name is
Wow.
Solomon Friedman, and he is a former defense attorney of child sex predators. And that's how he was known. He was like the best at what he did. If someone was a child sex offender, you definitely wanted him on your team because he was very good at getting sentences minimized and cases dismissed. In fact,
Oh
he
my
actually
God.
congratulated a colleague or a friend of his who was also a defense attorney for getting a man with over 7,000 child sexual abuse images on his computer. This lawyer got his case dismissed completely, and Solomon Friedman, the owner of Pornhub, congratulated him and celebrated.
Oh my God, I can't. This takes it to a whole new level, you know. And then he calls
Yes.
ethical. I mean, this
His
is
firm
what
is
they.
called Ethical
I know
Capital
this is what they
Partners.
do. This Luciferian upside down language. It's all over the place. You know, all the people saving democracy are destroying it. All the people that are ethical are the. Or, yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable. That's shocking information. You would. At first, when you said that, I thought, well, maybe somebody's coming in to clean it up, but it sounds like somebody's coming in to do the opposite, possibly. Now, there's a new advent in this. As I told you, when I first went to LA in the 90s, it was like a lot of the actresses that started out, you couldn't even get an agent if you weren't willing to do R-rated movies. But and that was during the time of the Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian tapes and all of that. And there was kind of a push in Hollywood to kind of normalize all that stuff. There was, that people are all upset, and then they're like, but can I make money off of it? And then you have like, them monetizing their own supposed intimate videos that were not supposed to go anywhere. So it was somewhat started being normalized as you know, this is how you get famous, this is how you do it. And so I know, though, at one time when I was still there, a couple of my friends that were actresses that had done stuff, there were outtakes from, because there's a lot of big processes, this whole thing, you sign like nudity clauses and all that, what you'll do. But people don't realize that that footage goes somewhere. And there was no internet at that time. But then when the internet came up, people remember the case with Scarlett Johansson and Jennifer Lawrence and all these people. There started being videos of them that were coming out. They were hacking their computers and stuff. But some of this was blackmail, other people. So a lot of this is blackmail footage. Is there, do you think that footage on there is being manipulated? Because a lot of this footage that I'm talking about, especially of these big actresses, or when they pull out a clip from a film and then they manipulate it with AI or CGI and make it so much more graphic. So an R-rated scene will look like an X-rated scene. I mean, these are crazy things, and it's not that hard to do. Is there a policy there about AI or manipulated or CGI content, or is that fine too?
Are you talking about on Pornhub or in
Yeah.
general? I don't know. I really don't. I think it's a huge gray area
Right.
because you can argue that, well, that's not really the person doing it, and
So
whoever
there's no
created the
victim.
AI,
Right.
right, and whoever created the AI is the owner of that video.
Right.
So there's a huge, of course, argument right now in the public. Lots of public figures are, having their images be manipulated, and they're very angry about it. And I think, overall, it's a positive thing that you have these people fighting to have their rights over their own images,
Right.
who are, these are actresses who are famous, these are people in the public eye. So hopefully
And they
they'll
have the
have,
money to fight it. The big
exactly,
problem is that
hopefully
it
they
takes
have,
too much money to fight a beast like Pornhub. But,
yeah.
the actresses that are fighting this, I know there was a big thing, but the truth is that a lot of that footage is can be manipulated. And once that happens, like you said, then the rights and the all of that become very murky, and people have to pay attention to this whole thing. So from where you stand, and first of all, how did this affect you personally? Because as journalists and real journalists like you are, investigative journalists, people don't always. I'm good friends with Laura Logan and some other people that do this kind of deep dive work, and it affects them personally. So how did it affect you, in your head and heart and mind? It's hard. We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Yeah, it was hard day in and day out to hear about these horrible things that have happened and still are happening. And you know, talking to these employees of this horrible, horrible company, it really made me depressed in a lot of ways. And it caused me to just retreat and create a safer, more peaceful environment in my own personal life. And so I think in a weird way, doing this investigation has turned me into a bit of a hermit, which
You're protecting yourself. At least you're smart enough and have enough instinct and internal, you know, strength to realize you need that, because this can be very dangerous for the person. I mean, psychologically, emotionally, I'm sure it was. Also, the idea that these people are helpless. You're watching victims that aren't allowed to fight. They're fighting David and Goliath situations. It's hard to, you know, process when you're looking at something, you know, it's inherently evil and they're getting away with it and they don't care. And you're the one that's sitting there saying, look, I have the evidence. And yet, you know, like you said, X demonetized you and hid the content. And, you know, that must feel terrible.
That's been really frustrating, actually, because before we began publishing, we really believed X was going to be our best platform.
Right.
And we would have X on our side. We would be able to publish what we wanted to publish, and there would be no funny manipulation of the algorithm to hide our content.
Right.
Unfortunately, so far, that is all we've been faced with.
Right.
And after we published our first video, I was locked out of my account for a few days, and we didn't think we'd be able to publish the next one just because I couldn't get in my account.
Well, that's weird, because they put up James O'Keefe's videos. What's the difference? Because that's Pornhub, it's different?
It seems that, it seems like it's the content in the Pornhub videos specifically. I mean, we haven't gotten any notices about why this is happening.
Right. That's the other thing. You're not that it's impossible to find out. Right.
No, I don't know. Like, so, you know, I was demonetized without any notice or any reason. I'm search banned. You have to type in my entire Twitter handle.
I tried this morning because I know. So somebody in the Pornhub world, I think you probably identified who is on the back end at Twitter somehow. And that needs to be addressed. Yeah. I saw just Lara a few days ago had a video that was not playing. And she said to Elon, you know, why isn't this playing? I want answers. I'm sure she hasn't gotten them, as you haven't gotten them. But this is something that needs to be addressed, because then they're picking and choosing what to put out there. What you're doing is actual journalism. It's no different than what James O'Keefe does.
Yeah. And, you know, you'll see me running my mouth on X a little bit about the platform and kind of lamenting and addressing things at Elon. But I'm really I truly believe if Elon saw what was going on, I believe the issue would be addressed. But he can't be responsible for every single little person who works behind the scenes. So I'm not directing my anger.
Hopefully he'll see this. No. And I agree with you. And besides, we don't know if it's the algorithms, but it does sound like in the back end, they have a lot of money, ridiculous amount of money. Now, let me ask you, because I wonder about this. I have a friend that has helped some people. I also had on Oodles Wallace, who put the Protect Act forward. She's awesome. And I had her on the show. We talked about that. The other thing is that OnlyFans is a situation that has happened. And I wonder, you know, what I was told is that some of these women on OnlyFans, that's their income. And then the people are downloading their videos and then posting them on Pornhub. And then they no longer are making money on OnlyFans. And some of those people are trying to go after Pornhub and getting totally like brick walled. And it's their content. It's their livelihood. And once it's uploaded on Pornhub, they can't do anything. And I think that this is becoming a bigger and bigger thing now that there are women actually entering in and men entering into that realm as independent, basically contractors and having their content stolen. Did you come across any of that?
Oh yeah. A lot of reports of that. Mike Farley, that Pornhub employee of 11 years, was talking about, I guess, piracy, you could call it.
Right.
As well as a content moderation employee was talking about how they get calls all the time from girls being like, hey, didn't consent to my video being on this platform. Please take it down.
And do they take them down? Because again, that those people that choose to do OnlyFans, that is their income. That is their content. So what happens then?
I think some of them are taken down. Some of them it's... They don't. It and the horrible part is sometimes you won't even know because you can't be everywhere at once. Something happening on some dark corner of Pornhub, like a lot of times you're not likely to know about it. And that's a really scary thing too. But with really successful porn actors and actresses, there's really good copyright fingerprint technology that can be applied to their videos. So like, for example, if you're to upload The Lion King on YouTube wouldn't have it. Like absolutely no
way. So they have that technology.
They have fingerprint technology that they've applied to, you know, the more famous high earners, porn stars that they're for whatever reason, super hesitant, super, super slow to apply to victims of abuse, trying to contact the platforms. They absolutely have the technology. And Uldos can actually speak to this too, because she was a victim herself.
Yeah, exactly.
And she went back and forth with someone.
It was a nightmare. And honestly, she was a revenge porn, like a intimate partner then leaked her. And I'm sure there's plenty of that there, but even worse.
And she was hacked as well. She was hacked.
She was in that hack that when I was in LA, when that happened to, it was hundreds of girls. People only heard about the real famous ones, but there was hundreds of people. And some of those hacks were actually, or some of the stuff that was being put out and using as blackmail were outtakes from projects that they'd done years ago that, you know, it was so crazy, but now you can just create it. That's another reason people don't know. I'm sure you're in the union, as am I. A couple of the big sticking points with the recent strikes for SAG and Writers Guild and all of that were that in the future, they want actors to have AI banks that they're going to be like the bigger agencies are going to require actors to all have these AI banks where you don't even have to show up. They can just AI you right into, you know, a commercial in Italy or all of that. I know the big agencies are doing that already for a lot of the A-list actors that do commercials in foreign countries. They don't even have to go to the set. They can just do it with their AI bank. So it's getting more and more scary on that front, but it's really important what you're doing now. Last thing, if you could list things that you think should happen, resolutions to this, if like, say, Donald Trump's president and he calls you and he says, Arden, can you come to my office? I want to really look into this and make sure that I'm standing up for child and sex trafficking victims and people that are being exploited online. What would your suggestions be on what to do about the evidence that you found so far, which obviously is the tip of the iceberg?
Yeah. Shut Pornhub down. Doesn't deserve to be a functioning business. Has proven that it is unable to function legally, completely unable to function, and pass the Protect Act. I think Uldos is doing amazing things advocating for this bill, and the Protect Act clearly defines different ways that someone can be sexually exploited online, and that includes AI, that includes all these gray areas that the law fails to address specifically so far. So I think that would be a really, really important piece of legislation that could help support victims who whose cases aren't clearly defined in the law.
And this also, go ahead.
Yeah, if we're to enforce existing laws, that would be probably the most important, because there are laws in place that absolutely make it clear that what Pornhub has done and is doing is just illegal, and any porn site for that matter, or whatever. Even there's things on Facebook that definitely shouldn't be on there. So there are laws in place already that should be enforced. That it's just an open shut case if someone gave them the attention it deserved.
Yeah, I didn't know that until recently that X, Facebook, Instagram allow nudity. Right now, honestly, if you are on there and put anything up and you get comments and stuff, I know this for Rob, you know, there'll be at least three comments, bots that are like in your thing, and it's like you hit it and it's like, or open their picture and they're totally naked. Like, I didn't know that this was, I mean, if you don't know, you don't know. But then once you realize, you think, well, then again, everything that you're saying applies here. Who is this? Is it generated? Is this somebody who's been trafficked? Is it underage? And then you go through the whole process and it's like the victim is, or even not a victim, just somebody who sees it is like the problem. Well, prove it. You know, what's the problem? I can't believe that X and Facebook and Instagram allow this stuff, any nudity on their site.
Yeah, Twitter allows pornography.
I can't believe it. I didn't even know this.
Yeah, they allow pornography to be posted. They don't allow it to be advertised anymore, but I think it has a way of sneaking in there still.
It shouldn't be there at all. I wonder also if Section 230 being revoked would help this too, because right now you can't sue them. And you can't sue Google, because another problem here that I also saw in when I was researching what you were doing is that once it's in the internet, once it's on the internet, then all the search engines pick it up too. And then it's like it's just so massive, and it's so David and Goliath on a grand scale for the victims of this stuff. And let me tell you something. If you at some time 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I have a friend that is a lawyer and a model from like, when she was like 19 or 20, had pictures taken topless, like they were like art pictures. But then as soon as she became a successful lawyer and somebody wanted to go after her, all of a sudden they're showing up online and she couldn't do anything because they were in the search engines. So it's even bigger than that. But starting with Pornhub is the first place. I can't even believe what you found and the total lack of humanity, lack of compassion, lack of empathy. So going forward, what are your plans now? What are you doing? And are you continuing down this path? And of course, anytime you want to come on and have anything to share, your open door here at the Mel Kay Show always. This is a big thing for me. And like I said, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, the pressure and what it's really like to be in that world of Hollywood. It does make you stronger, but it is also very eye-opening. And right now we're watching all these kids coming up after us that have no idea that you know, fame has a price, and it's not it. Some prices are too high. So I really appreciate you being so out there and open and honest and doing this kind of work. It's difficult. And a lot of people won't do it that know it exists because they don't want to be blackballed or not work again. But I think that whole model's over and there'll be a better model for us in the future if we want to do anything creative. Yeah. But so last things, tell everyone what you're doing now, how they can find you, how they can follow you, how they can support your work. Very important that everyone supports independent journalists. There are no real journalists anymore. I just found out, you want to hear something crazy? That there's a left-wing billionaire oligarch run NGO that is $500 million that they're paying directly to journalists to not do this work. So people have to understand, people like you are the real thing and need to be supported, because those guys are being supported by people probably that are trying to suppress you, suppress your information. So tell everyone how they can help. Scary.
Thank you. Well, right now we have so much follow through to do. We got lots of interest from different state attorneys general. Great. We got interest from lawmakers on how to just help the situation, hold Pornhub accountable. Right. So we have a lot of follow through to do. Sure. We're following a child sex trafficking class action suit against Pornhub right now, where two of my subjects in the undercover videos were subpoenaed to testify. So we're trying to follow that because there's a lot of drama going on over there. But how people can keep up, soundinvestigations.com. You can watch all the videos there. You can also donate to keep us going. Soundinvestigations.com/donate. Twitter is still our most active platform. We're going to figure out Rumble soon, I think. But right now, Twitter, if you find me, Arden_Young_, you have to type the whole thing in to find me.
Right. Well, we'll put it below. But everyone, go follow her and support her. When that case comes to, please come back and report on it. This is an all hands on deck situation. The damage this does, as I told you and my audience knows, I have many friends who did not make it out of Hollywood because of suicide and overdose and drug addiction and everything else. The women that are involved here, and it's also men and it's also children, boys and girls, some of them cannot, this is devastating to one's soul on many, many levels. So this is a life and death situation for many, many of these victims that you're helping and you're shining a light on. And I hope people out there understand this isn't about pornography. This is about life and humanity and good and evil. And thank you so much, Arden, for standing up and speaking up. And I wanted to tell everyone, please do support all independent journalists, independent websites. Go to themelkayshow.com. Make sure that you're subscribed to the newsletter. Make sure that you're subscribed to Arden's website, soundinvestigations.com. Make sure you're signed up for the newsletter and everything. There is a true and very ominous censorship wave about to come again, and a lot of purges, and people that are doing great work like Arden are usually, at least in the purge I was in 3.5 years ago, the first to go. So make sure that you're following her, you're supporting her, you're following her directly at the website. Very, very important, guys. Go to my website, her website, and everyone you love out there that you know, especially independent journalists, support them. It really, really matters. Thank you so much, Arden. And please come back when the case that you're working on goes a little forward and we have some progress there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mel.
Thank you so much. I'll see you again. It's that time of year again. People are getting sick. They're getting the flu. They're getting the cold. They're getting all different kinds of things. And I have always been very grateful for my friendship with Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Z. And though he's not with us anymore and I miss him every day, he has left behind the best remedy to me for anything that ails you, and that is Z-Stack from Dr. Zelenko. There's Z-Flu, Z-Stack, and Z-Kids. There's also many other products there. It's all about naturally boosting your immune health and fighting anything that comes your way. Dr. Zelenko was ahead of his time. He is out there fighting for us still to this day, and he's left behind the best gift. The gift is your health. So go to MelKDrZ.com, or you can go to my partner's page at themelkayshow.com, click Dr. Z or Z-Stack. Better health for us all awaits. Thank you, Dr. Zelenko. Did you know that there are more than 60,000 known chemicals in tap water, and the EPA only tests for 91 of them? This is why we're so grateful that we partnered with Healthy Hydration. They offer whole home water filtration, shower filters, under-the-counter pre-filters, molecular hydrogen water machines, hydrogen water bottles, and so much more for a healthier home and family. So go to themelkayshow.com and click on our partners page and check out Healthy Hydration and everything they have in store for your health and wellness today.